comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you happen to be all around this beautiful planet. Thank you for being here. It's the show where you matter. Well, we are still working on trying to get that K-File subscription link fixed. Don't have any idea what the problem is. I didn't change anything, but it just doesn't work. And I have emailed to the support department of the software company from which we purchased the software, and I'm awaiting an answer. I don't know, but here's what we can do. If you want to subscribe to the K-Files, and I certainly hope you do, and I know several of you do, you've been emailing me saying, look, I'm trying, but I can't subscribe. Here's what we can do. For right now, you can just go to the contact page, click suggestion. After you click suggestion, just type in the message, I want to subscribe to K-Files. Now be sure you say, I want to subscribe to K-Files. Otherwise, I don't know whether you want to subscribe to K-Files or to the members area. Okay? So do that, and I will manually add you to the database, and we'll get you subscribed and get you up and going. The software works fine. It just won't accept subscriptions. So I don't know what the deal is. But we'll work around that, all right? So those of you who have been emailing me saying, I want to get your free newsletter, but it won't let me subscribe, there's the workaround. Click on my page where it says contact and then select suggestion, okay? And then type in the message, I want to subscribe to K-Files. All right. This is not a new phenomenon. What I'm about to tell you about is something that's been happening now for 10 years or so. I get emails from people, members and non-members, that say, you know, what's wrong with your site? It's had the same picture about a show for the last 3 months. For tonight's show. Or sometimes they tell me a different thing. They'll say, you know, it's a member, and they say, I tried to watch the latest show, and it's been the same show up there for the last week. I assure you that's not the case. I assure you that we change that every day. And I assure you that the problem is 100% in your browser. Ah, know thy system, ladies and gentlemen. This is as basic as knowing you have to put gasoline in a car in order to drive it. You have to clear the cache, out of your browser. In fact, you should go in and set it where it does not cache pages at all. But that's what's happening. It's serving you an old page because you've told it to. Maybe you didn't know you told it to. Maybe it came that way out of the box. But that's how it is. Okay? We're going to be talking about something really big tonight. Giants. We'll be back right after this.
Come on.
All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You know, one of the things that happens in this world of talk shows is sometimes a guest becomes ill. And that's what has happened with our guest for this evening. I will hold off telling you who that is, but our guest for this evening emailed me and is ill and not able to be with us this evening. And this is when you find out, is it a hobby or is this something you live for? For me, I think you know. It's what I live for. One of the subjects that I have covered, one of the topics that I've covered on this show, both by myself and with guests, is the topic of giants. For some people, giants are purely mythical. They are the stuff of children's rhymes. Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. You know that one. Yeah, well, for other people, they are something that is a matter of faith. It's in their holy book, and therefore they believe it, just because it's in the holy book. The Quran has giants in them. In fact, the Quran teaches that Adam, the person we call Adam, was a giant, a massive giant too, a really big one. And it talks about other giants. The book that we call the Holy Bible, which is not a book, it's 66 books, but that book, that library of books, talks about giants in several places, and it talks about them as statements of fact. It talks about them as, it's just how it is. They exist. The most famous, I guess, is the story of David and Goliath, where Goliath is a giant and David is a little kid, or at least a young man, and they meet out on the battlefield, and David slings a rock and hits the giant between the eyes, knocks him out, runs over and grabs his sword and beheads him. That's in the Bible. But that's certainly not the only giant in the Bible. For people who are not people of the book, okay, so Muslims are people of the book. They have a holy book. And Christians are people of the book. Jews are people of the book. They all have their holy book. For those folks, there are giants because their book says so. But for people who are not people of the book, a lot of times they assume that's just old mythological, nonsensical legend. And it's not real. Now, what I intend to do tonight is to show you whether or not this thing about giants is real. But in addition, I'm going to show you how the so-called powers that be, and you understand, when we talk about the powers that be, we're really not talking about just people in government or shadow government. We're talking about people in high places. We're talking about people that have high titles and a great deal of authority within their realm. So it could be academia, it could be music, it could be literature, it could be government, it could be military. But these are the paradigm builders. These are the people who construct the reality that is presented to the rest of us. They construct a version of reality that is presented to the rest of us, and then they persecute anyone who dares to question that perception. One of the things that you've heard me say many, many times here on this show, when we've talked about giants, you've heard me talk about this with Jerry Wills, who himself is quite a large person. He's almost 7 feet tall. I'm not sure you would say he's a giant, but he is a very large person. But you've heard me talk about giants with him. You've heard me talk about giants with Jonathan Gray. You've heard me talk about giants with Michael Cremo and a lot of others. And you've heard me say, what's the deal? Why does there seem to be this sort of inborn reticence to tell us the truth about giants? Why, for instance, back in the 1800s and early 1900s, there were a lot of very ancient graves, tombs, being excavated in the United States. The United States of America was expanding. Population was expanding. As they began to expand, they were expanding for a lot of reasons, some of them for agricultural reasons, some of them for mercantile reasons, some of them for mining operations, some for railroads. All different kinds of expansion was taking place, and they would run across these graves as they would excavate for their projects. And they would find very tall skeletons. They found skeletons where, for instance, a female that was 6 feet, 8 inches tall, a female. They found men, male skeletons, sometimes as tall as 12 feet tall. There was a report of one that was about 14 or 15 feet tall found in Arizona, but that has been, I'm not sure about that one, but a whole bunch of them where they found skeletons that were, you know, 12 feet tall. And these were not what we would call American Indians. These are not Native Americans, because when we say Native Americans, we're talking about the people that we call American Indians. And I certainly don't want any Native Americans getting upset with me. I'm part Native American myself. I have no disrespect for that. But history is history, facts are facts. And the fact is, they were finding graves of people that were not Native American, graves that apparently were much older than the oldest known settlements of Native Americans, and they contained the skeletons of giants. Now, in that period of time, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, these finds would be reported in the newspapers, and very, very often they would have a medical doctor go out and take a look at the excavation, take a look at the skeleton, measure the skeleton, and provide medical information based on that. In other words, this is the skeleton of a male. This male would have stood 9 feet, 2 inches tall. Approximate weight would have been whatever. And so a lot of those reports had the reports and comments of the medical doctors involved as well. And you can still find some of those old newspaper accounts where they talked about that, where they reported on it. Some of them, especially as we got into the 1900s, some of them had photographs. And, you know, they're not the high-definition photographs we're used to today, but they're photographs. And this was just freely, openly reported and talked about. Now, in the early 1900s, there was a shift. There was a shift in attitude and policy. Who shifted it? Well, we don't know for sure, but we see the results of it. And that is, this became especially the case after the advent of the Smithsonian Institute, but even before then, it was already beginning. And that is that when there was a find like this, even if it got reported, some museum would move in to take over the archaeology of the place, and basically they would clean it up, clean it out, and you never heard anything of that skeleton again. It's as though there was an attempt to erase giants from our history. Yet we know they did exist. You know, in I think it was the 1500s where Magellan was sailing, and he sails around the tip of South America, and he sees giants on the shore. And in his ship's log, in his captain's log, he recorded that two of them swam out to the ship, came aboard, he says that they were so tall that the tallest among his crew only came up to the giant's waist. So you're talking about a person, a giant, that is twice as tall as the tallest of Magellan's crew. So what have we got there? Well, we've got a giant that's 9 to 10 feet tall. It is Magellan who named that area of South America Patagonia. It is Magellan, and they went ashore. They had contact with these giants. It is Magellan who named it Patagonia because apparently the word Patagonia, the name Patagonia, sort of means the land of the people with huge feet. So we know that this is not myth. We know that it's very real. And we're going to look at some evidence tonight about that. And as always, the question, why? Why don't they want you to know? What is there about the giants? They don't want you to know about it. They want you to believe it's a myth. And I'm telling you, folks, it is not a myth. It is most definitely, verifiably not a myth. Why do they want you to do that? Why do they want you to think that? Big question, isn't it? Let me show you something they do. When I say they, I'm talking about a very nebulous group. You know, sometimes people say, well, unless you've got names, I don't believe there is a they. Well, this gets done. It doesn't get done by ants. It gets done, and it doesn't get done by kangaroos. It gets done by people. And even if I don't know their names, I can look at the result of their work and know there is a they. And here is what they do. And before I show you this, sometimes people within our genre, within our group, actually participate in bringing about the obfuscation and the spin. And I'll show you how it's done. Now, on our television channel, our family of listeners, our community of listeners, is seeing a picture that everyone has seen. It's been all over the internet. This is a picture of apparently an archaeologist. He's got a shovel in his hand, and he's down working next to a gigantic skeleton. You've all seen this. This skeleton would be, I would say, this would be the skeleton of someone 30 feet tall. And, you know, except for the size of this thing, it looks all very genuine. Now, here is how people within our own genre sort of participate in the obfuscation and spin. When that photograph hit the internet, I started getting emails. This was several years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and I started getting emails where people were saying, wow, take a look at this. This proves that giants existed. And there was a whole story about, I think, I'm not sure, but I think the story for that picture was that it was in Turkey and that they had found this gigantic skeleton. And the story was written like it was a regular, real news story and everything, and that went all over the internet. And once in a while, someone still sends me that picture and tries to tell me, you know, look at this. This proves that that the Bible was correct. Giants really existed. Well, folks, if you'll do a little research on that picture, you're going to find out that picture was a Photoshop entry into a contest. It was entirely from start to finish. It was not intended as a hoax. It was intended as a contest entry. And that's what it was. It was a contest entry. But because a lot of people picked it up and fanned the flames with it and said, look at this, this proves that the giants are real, this proves the Bible is true. I got some that said this proves the Quran is true. And people just fanned this all over the internet. And you'll still see some of those sites out there that talk about that picture in that way. And then once it's known what the real story is about that picture, what happens? Those of you that listen to this show all the time, what happens? You hear me say it incessantly. The minds of the majority of the population throw the baby out with the bathwater. They see that picture and they get all excited, and then they read the real story behind that picture, and I've reported that real story right here on this show a couple of times. And they hear the real story behind that picture, and then they say, the next time they see some sort of evidence about giants, their mind says, oh man, that's all a hoax. That's all bogus. Because they have mentally thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And this works to the benefit of those who are trying to keep the secret. So we don't do ourselves in our genre any good by getting all up in the air and excited over something before we know for sure what it is. Well, it's okay to be excited about it, but don't start saying it's this, it's that, it's the other thing until we can nail it down and investigate it and know what it is. Now, sometimes we can't nail it down. And then we can say that. We can say, well, it's very, very interesting. It could be what it appears to be. We haven't found evidence of hoax. And in this case, with this picture of this giant skeleton, we really don't find any evidence of it being a hoax because it was intended as a Photoshop entry into a contest. No one intended to hoax anything. It was an entry into a contest. But unfortunately, some people picked it up and fanned the breeze with it and said, look, this is proof. Well, we hurt ourselves when we do that. But I am going to show you some proof tonight. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about giants this evening. Now, I said I am going to show you some evidence tonight that it's very real, this thing about giants. In fact, I'm going to show you proof that it's real. I'm not going to show you proof that the Quran is accurate or that the Bible is accurate. You have to make your own mind up about those things. But the idea that there were giants, I'm going to show you that it's absolutely true. Now, we are going to begin with something that a lot of people don't know about. It is in the Bible. They know about David and Goliath, but a lot of people don't know about a king by the name of Og. This is in Deuteronomy, which is in your Bible, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Do you know what Deuteronomy means? It means the second law. Leviticus is the law, and then in Deuteronomy, you have a second giving of the law. In Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron." Is it not in Rabbath? That's the location of this bedstead. "Of the children of Ammon," so he was an Ammonite. That was his ethnic background. He was an Ammonite. The size of it, now it gives the size. 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. Okay, now that you even if you've read that, you probably went, yeah, okay, and so what's cubit? All right, now for those who are watching, you can watch and see the cubit of a man. You see my arm extended, and those of you who are listening by radio, if you'll put your arm on a table, rest your elbow on a table, and from the elbow up to your hand, just raise it straight up. Okay? The cubit of a man is from the tip of the middle finger to the elbow. So he was 9 of those in height. That varies, of course, doesn't it? Because each of us has a different length of our forearm and hand and fingers. So it varies some. But it does tell us that he was somewhere between 13 feet to 18 feet tall. This was a very tall man. Now you might say, well, that's just in the Bible. And there's no, that's just a myth. There's nothing to bear this out. Well, actually, there are other ancient texts that were not part of the Bible. They were never intended to be part of the Bible, just ancient texts of other civilizations that talk about the giant king Og. And there is his grave. Now, his grave, his tomb, is very interesting. It is the only one of its kind in the Middle East. It is constructed of stone circles. In fact, it has sort of the appearance of what Plato described many, many years later as the design for the city of Atlantis, for the port city on the continent of Atlantis. These are stone circles, concentric circles, with the tomb right in the middle. Now, if you measure from one side of this outer stone circle, and you measure straight across, get the diameter, it comes out to 521.7 feet across. And it is, as I say, the only one in the Middle East. There is not another one like this. This predates the Great Pyramid. It is aligned, and this is interesting, it is aligned to the summer solstice and the rising of Sirius in 3000 BC. Now, what is aligned? Well, there are two entrances into these stone circles. One entrance aligned to the summer solstice, one aligned to the rising of the star Sirius in 3000 BC. Why is that important? Well, I find it just a little bit curious, don't you? I find it curious that if it's just a myth, then why did other civilizations write about him? Yes, it is mentioned in the Bible. That doesn't mean that it's a myth. Look, most of the mythology that people imagine that's in the Bible is real. that may go against, I'm not a religious person, but that may go against your personal belief. You may believe that everything in the Bible is all jumbled around and fake and it's all been doctored up and none of it's accurate. But I'll tell you something. Archaeologists have had an egg on their faces again and again and again when they said they saw something in the Bible and they said that's a myth. For instance, the Hittites. There's no such thing as a Hittite. We never saw the Hittites anywhere else. Nobody ever wrote about the Hittites. There's no such thing as Hittites. That's just biblical myth. That's what the archaeologists said. And then they had to pull a Homer Simpson. They had to say, dope. Because they found the Hittites, the archaeologists did. And not only were they sort of major, you know, the palace was 25 acres. The foundation of the palace was 25 acres. That's kind of major. That's a big house. Other civilizations, other peoples wrote about this guy, Og, and they said he was a giant. They described him similarly as the Bible does, and there's his grave. So he's not a myth. He actually existed. There's his grave. No other grave around there like that one. They've done a little study to find out, well, who could have built it? Well, there were only two types of people living in that valley back around 3000 BC. One group were nomads. They didn't build anything. They were nomadic. They had tents. They moved. They didn't build anything. The other group was a tribe called the Rephaim. And they were giants. That's over 37,000 tons of stone in that tomb. 37,000 pounds of stone. 37,000 tons, I'm sorry, of stone in that. So you have on record, both in the Bible and in other writings, other records, mentions of these giants living in that area. You have the mention of Og, not only in the Bible, but in other writings. Og, the giant, the king of Bashan. And you've got a tomb that would have not been possible to for the nomads to build. And the design of that tomb honors the solstice, summer solstice, and the rising of the star Sirius. The Dogon tribe down in Africa, they honor the star Sirius as well. And one of their main drawings that they do in honoring Sirius is a set of concentric circles. Kind of interesting. So were these giants, were they from Sirius? Well, possibly. Some people would say that's nuts, that's crazy, there's no such thing as extraterrestrials. That's crazy. Well, okay, if you're someone who believes in the Quran or you believe in the Bible, what about angels? Oh, well, those are spiritual beings. Really? Are they from here? If they're not from here, this is Terra. The name of this planet is Terra. You didn't know that? Oh, well, you need to go back and read history. Terra. That's the name of this planet. T-E-R-R-A. Extra Terra means apart from Earth, apart from Terra, extraterrestrial, a living being that is apart from here, not from here. Well, I just don't believe angels are extraterrestrials. Well, they're either extraterrestrials or you're having to tell me that they are from Earth. If they're not from Earth, they are extraterrestrial. So is it possible that these giants were from there, or maybe they were the descendants of people who were from there? In Genesis, it talks about that. The sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children, and they were giants. So maybe these are the descendants. Some people say these are the Nephilim. No. The giants are not the Nephilim. They are the children of the Nephilim. They are hybrid children of Nephilim and human. All right, now, let me just give you a little bit of an example here of how much difference there is when you look at someone that's 6 feet tall and compare that to someone who's 15 feet tall. Now, those who are watching on our channel, and I invite all of you to do that, just join our members area, you get to watch it. What we have here are pictures of skeletons, and the first skeleton represents someone 6 feet tall. Look at the one that's 12 feet tall. There's 6 feet, 9 feet, 12 feet, 15 feet, and then 20 feet. Now, Og would have been somewhere between could have been 13 feet. Depends on how long a person's arm is. 13 to 18 feet tall. Just look at the size of that as compared to someone that's 6 feet tall. Unbelievable. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, ancient history talks about them, and there is evidence on the ground. But we're going to move into more modern times when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about giants this evening. We've dealt with Og, and I said perhaps those giants living in that valley where that tomb of Og is, perhaps they were the children of the offspring of the Nephilim, and perhaps they were. And I think biblical scholars would say yes, they are. But I do want to make this point, and it's an important point. And that is, not all giants were offspring of the Nephilim. All offspring of the Nephilim were giants, but not all the giants were offspring of the Nephilim. There's no evidence for that. That would be like saying, that's like saying that because the Jewish people say they are the children of Abraham, which they are, that all children of Abraham are Jews. That's not true. Abraham had two sons by different women. One of those sons is the father of the Arab nations, the other, the father of the Jewish nation. So the Arabs and the Jews are half-brothers, if they're both telling the truth about being the children of Abraham. So all the children of Abraham are not Jews. And it would not be all the Jews are children of Abraham, but it's not correct to say that all of the children of Abraham are Jews, because there are his children by another wife, or actually was not a wife. It was his wife's handmaiden. And she bore him a son, and that son grew up, fathered children, and they became the great Arab nations. So not all the giants are children of the Nephilim, but when we talk about Og, perhaps those were. So we're going to move up into a little bit more modern times, and let's talk about a Roman emperor. Now, that you might say, well, that's not modern. Well, it's more modern than Og. And this one's not in the Bible, so you can't, those of you who are not religious, but who make being not religious, you make that a belief system. You can't throw this in our faces and say that's mythology because it's in the Bible, because it's not in the Bible. This is just in history. His name is Maximus Thrax. He was actually turned out to be a murder victim. He was murdered along with his son while they were resting under a tree in the afternoon, and he was murdered by his troops. He was 8 feet 6 inches tall, weighed approximately 380 pounds. Hair was dark but close cropped. His occupation, Roman emperor. 8 feet 6 inches tall. That is a giant. That's a big person. Now, you might say, well, he's tall, but that's not really a giant. Well, for those who are watching now on our TV channel, you're going to see a little video. And this is a video of two women. Now, one of these women is approximately 5 feet 2 inches tall. The other woman is approximately 8 feet tall. She's just under 8 feet tall. Now, when you look at these two side by side, and this is not animation, this is a real video of two real women, and they're standing side by side. One of them is right around 7 feet tall, the other one around 5'2". And when you look at the woman that's about 7 feet tall, I don't think there's anybody in the audience that would say she's not a giant. You see, what happens as you get taller, the bone structure has to become denser, and it has to become bigger. Everything gets bigger. Everything. It's not just that you're taller. Your whole structure has to be bigger. And so the taller a person is, the bigger the structure. I don't think there's anybody that would look at that and say, well, that's not a giant. She's just tall. Yeah, she's a giant. Albeit one of the smaller versions of a giant. Now, Maximus Thrax, what happened was the emperor who, Maximus was a general, and he was away at war, and the guy who was before him, whose name, by the way, was Alexander, but not Alexander the Great, he was the emperor, and he was considered weak. He was an appeaser. Rather than stand up to enemies of Rome who said if you don't pay, it was kind of like piracy or extortion. If you don't pay us, we're going to invade. And he paid them. And it made the army mad, and the army deposed him. They killed him. And his mother, they were reigning together. And the army went into the Senate and said, guess what? Maximus Thrax, our general, is now the emperor. And so the Senate just sort of threw their hands up and said, well, okay, and they rubber stamped it. Of course, we don't know of any Senate anywhere that would just rubber stamp something, do we? Been going on for a long time. So they rubber stamped it, and he became the emperor. He was coarse, he was mean, he was brutal, he was barbaric. And finally, reached a point where his troops hated him so much that as he was resting in the shade of a tree, he was approached by his troops, surrounded, and killed, along with his son to make sure there was no succession. But this guy, Maximus Thrax, was 8 feet 6 inches tall. Now let's come to some more modern times, so that we're not looking just at a sculpture of a Roman emperor. Let's look at a photograph. This was in 1873, and what we have here is a photograph of three people, two men and a woman. Now, one man is just under 8 feet tall. The woman is just under 8 feet tall, but she's 2 inches taller than the man. And then there's a little guy down there about 5 feet 10 inches tall. This is Captain Martin Van Buren. You can look this up on the internet. And a lady by the name of Anna Swan Bates. Now, Captain Van Buren was a captain in the Confederate Army. After the Civil War, because he had been a Confederate soldier, of course, there was no ounce of mercy shown by the victorious Union. Not a bit, not an ounce. And the only way he could earn a living was, because of his size, appear in sideshows sort of as a freak, as a giant. Well, while doing that, he met Anna Swan Bates. They went to Europe, and they toured Europe as sort of a sideshow couple. They created such a stir in Europe that Queen Victoria asked them to come to the palace. She wanted to meet them. They did, and when they got married, Queen Victoria paid for it. They had a wedding in London, paid for by the Queen. Now, Captain and Mrs. Bates did something that's very important to our discussion here tonight. Captain and Mrs. Bates did something that proves a point that I'm going to make here tonight. The point is that giants were real and are real. But the point is, it kind of hinges on these two people. Look, you know, St. Patrick was a giant. You know that. At least you should. He was almost 9 feet tall. But Captain and Mrs. Bates, one of the things that I get asked whenever I do any kind of show about giants, one of the things I get asked is, well, if they did exist, they must have all got wiped out, because you just don't see giants today. Well, of course you do if you're looking, but you don't see groups of giants. Why is that? The giants were hunted and warred against, and they were hunted to virtual extinction. There are people today who have a condition, a medical condition called giantism, that makes them grow very tall. But that's not what we're talking about. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted you're here. Sorry for whatever it is that kept you from the first hour, but we're delighted you're here now. We're talking about giants, the reality of giants. It's not fiction. It's not myth. They absolutely exist and have all down through history. But here's the deal. The question I was asking before we went to break, why don't we see civilizations of giants? Well, you do, to some degree. For instance, the Maasai tribe in Africa, a short Maasai is 6 feet tall. These people range upward from 6 to 8 feet tall. They are giants. And it's a group of them. But you don't see too many of those. I was told today about a group that live in the Republic of Georgia, which used to be part of the old Soviet Union. And they are called Swanentians. And the person that told me about this said most of them are big, really tall, big people. I can't verify that because I've never been there, but I was told that today. Now, remember, I said that this couple, Captain Martin Van Buren and Anna Swan Bates, who became Anna Swan Van Buren, she married him. Both of these people had normal-sized parents. So the assumption would be they were giants because they suffered from the medical condition known as giantism. Because their parents, both of them, their parents were normal-sized people. Giantism has to do with the hormone that causes you to grow. It has to do with the gland that produces that hormone being overactive, and it's supposed to shut down when we hit a certain age, you know, and then we're all grown up. But in people who have that condition, it doesn't shut down, and they continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. And this condition usually is accompanied by a great many other physical disabilities. Because they are not true giants, they are sort of accidental giants. They were not genetically predisposed to be giants. But in the case of the Van Burens, did they suffer from giantism? Well, most babies that grow into, let me start at the other end. People who suffer from giantism when they were babies, when they were born, were normal sized. It's as they grew, they just didn't stop growing. But real giants, people that are genetically giants, are so from birth. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Van Buren had a child. That child at birth weighed, ladies, are you ready for this? Husbands, put a chair under your wife because she's likely to pass out. That baby weighed 23 pounds. 23 pounds! This was a giant at birth. Genetically, a giant at birth. So why don't we see civilizations of these people? Remember I said that giants were hunted almost to extinction. They were hunted almost to extinction all over the world. There is something about us that says if you're not like me, you are a threat to me. And if you're not like me and you're a threat to me, I only know one way to handle that threat, and that is to get rid of you. That is the history of our race. Don't deny it. You know it's true. There used to be whole tribes of people, clans of people, that are what we call coneheads, right up into the Middle Ages. They had that cone-shaped skull. And they were hunted to extinction. There are records of that even in the Middle Ages. In order for there to be a tribe of these giants, it would be almost necessary for that to start with incest. Because you would have to have, here you have Mr. and Mrs. Van Buren, both giants, produce a child, 23 pounds, a giant. But in order for that to continue, that child has got to be able to find a wife that is a giant. And so it would almost be necessary, if you wanted to build a civilization of these people, it would be almost necessary in the beginning that the Van Burens have both a son and daughter, and that they marry each other and produce offspring, and that it begin to grow that way. Well, of course, that would be illegal in all modern countries. And that, of course, has its own health hazards as well, genetically. But there they are. Absolutely exist. You might say, oh, I think that photograph must have been photoshopped. That photograph was taken long before there were computers, much less Photoshop. And you got to remember, Queen Victoria paid for, and I think was present at their wedding. It's a matter of historical fact. But let's get a little more modern. One of the things that we heard about when the U.S. troops, and they say the coalition troops, but it's U.S.-led, went into Afghanistan, we heard reports that our troops going into caves looking for Al-Qaeda ran into some giants. Now, back when this happened, some of you remember this, back when this happened, it hit the internet, or when it was supposed to have happened. It hit the internet, and it was all over the place. I mean, the internet was ablaze with this news that our soldiers had run into giants over 20 feet tall in these caves, and that one or two of the soldiers had been killed by these giants. So then all of a sudden, those stories began to disappear from the internet. About the only place you can find a mention of it now is in an article written by Glenn Kimball. Some people absolutely adore Glenn Kimball. Some people think Glenn Kimball was a fraud. But that's about the only place you can read about our troops allegedly running into these giants. I don't know whether that actually happened or not, but I do know that in Afghanistan there are giants, not over 20 feet tall that I know of. But here is a U.S. soldier standing with an Afghani who is really, really tall. I'm guessing he's about 8 feet tall, maybe taller. And this is a modern photograph. Again, not photoshopped. It's a photograph, a real photograph. You can go on YouTube and type in Afghan giants, and you'll see video of somebody just shooting video as they drive down the street, and you will see standing on the side of the street one of these Afghan giants. Did the giants exist? Well, they do now, so why wouldn't they have? You see my point? Did the giants exist? See, a lot of times we think about that, and we think about it was some kind of, there was us, real humans, and then there was the giants. And we think that somehow all that got wiped out and they don't exist anymore, or it was all mythology. Now, my point about all this is ancient books talk about it. Ancient books say giants existed. They describe them. They give their height. And there is this sort of modern mindset that, oh, well, you know, that's probably just mythology. Now, look, I am not a religious person, but I am not an idiot. And I think when you start tossing things out, statements of fact, you start tossing them out of ancient documents just because it's in a book that some people say is holy. So you toss it out and you say that cannot be true because it's religious. Well, who made it religious? A bunch of people read it and said, oh, that's a religious book. You can also read it and say, oh, that's an ancient document. And when you start tossing out statements and evidence just because somebody said that's a religious book, that's kind of like being an idiot. It really is. I mean, look, I know that's not politically correct, but, you know, intellectual mudsuckers need to be told they're intellectual mudsuckers. That doesn't mean that everything you read in these ancient documents is precisely exactly true. You have to look at the evidence the same way you look at evidence today. But you can't just throw it out. If you want to get to any kind of truth, you can't just throw it out just because somebody said it's a religious book. You got to examine the evidence. On this show, and the reason I bring this up is I get email from people after I do a show like this where I quote something from the Bible and have at times quoted from the Quran about certain things having to do with our genre, especially extraterrestrials, genies, the jinn, and so forth. Now, I get email and people excoriate me because I thought this was not a religious show. Oh, come on. You got to grow up sometime. Today's a good day. Just because I quote from it and take a look at it doesn't mean I'm saying that's religious. You get the point? And just because I ask a question doesn't mean I'm promoting the idea of that question as being a fact. But at this point, with giants, there is no question. They have existed. They do exist. Here's the question. Why, since we know that giants exist today, people that are watching the TV channel are seeing right now a picture of that Afghani standing next to a American soldier. He's a giant. They exist today, and we know they exist today. There have been documentaries about them on television. People right now on our TV channel are seeing a picture of one of them. We know giants exist. Here's the question. The question is, when we find ancient tombs that contain these giant skeletons, why are they scooped up and disappeared? If we know giants exist today, why should it be shocking to us to find that there are skeletons of giants buried out there? If they exist today, they existed yesterday. If they existed yesterday, they existed 100 years ago. If they existed 100 years ago, they existed thousands of years ago and further back. We know that. So what's the big mystery about why these ancient tombs that have giant skeletons get scooped up and disappeared? Why does that happen? It might have something to do with what we started out with, talking about King Og. It might have something to do with the fact that those ancient skeletons of giants may not be entirely human giants. They may not be entirely terrestrial giants. they may be all or part extraterrestrial. Some of the giant skeletons that have been found, it has, and you go back and read those old articles in the newspapers about it, some of the descriptions say that they had double rows of teeth. Now, we have modern descriptions of extraterrestrials having double rows of teeth. Right here on this show, we had a guest that talked about going to see his dentist, and his dentist was sort of a little bit shaken, and they got to talking about what the deal was, and the dentist said, "Did you see that guy that left here?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "He's got two rows of teeth." Later, in the progression of time, that guest, and I wish I could remember, but I'm an old man, I can't remember everything. Some of you will remember this show, and you'll remember who it was. I don't remember who it was, but this guest, in the progression of time, came to know that person who told him that he was not from this planet. And I think he told him he was from Sirius. But is it possible that the reason that the bones of these ancient giants, these ancient tombs that are opened with skeletons of giants, is it possible that some of those may be not from here? And do show physiological differences other than just being very, very tall, like having double rows of teeth? Is that the reason they get scooped up and disappeared? So that they can keep us from knowing that this Earth was colonized by people from another planet? Is that the reason? Now, for those of you who are brand new to this show, and you're listening tonight, and you've heard the evidence, maybe you're at a friend's house who is a member, and so you've gotten to watch our TV channel, you've seen the pictures I've shown, and you're saying, well, you know, there might be something to this, I don't know, but you know, really, I think this is kind of out on the edge. I don't think this is, you know, I think really there's got to be a more reasonable explanation. What can be more reasonable than the truth? Can you think of something more reasonable than the truth? The truth is that in the late 1800s and early 1900s, as these ancient graves were being dug up all across America, as America was undergoing this vast, rapid expansion, they would dig up these graves and they'd have the skeletons of giants there, and doctors would be called to the scene, or sometimes the skeletons would be taken to a doctor in town, but the doctors would measure them and do medical descriptions of them, and they were giants. And in some of those cases, they had double rows of teeth, six fingers on each hand, six toes on each foot, but in every other way, totally human or humanoid. That would be reported in the newspapers. You can find those. You can read those online. Then there was a change. And in this change that took place, it was like overnight, those started being scooped up and disappeared. And they are still being scooped up and disappeared. Why? Again, is it possible that those skeletons would prove conclusively that this planet was colonized by people from another planet? Perhaps Sirius, as the Dogon people tell us. Perhaps Sirius, as the grave of King Og suggests. Is it possible? I would suggest to you it is possible. I cannot suggest and will not suggest to you that it is absolutely the case, but it's certainly a possibility. One thing I can tell you that certainly is the case is that there's something about those ancient giant skeletons that has the powers that be gigantically nervous. There's something about them they don't want you to know. There are human giants. We see pictures of them. I've shown you pictures of them tonight. We have accounts of them all down through written history. Not just in the Bible, not just in the Quran. Secular history. Josephus was a historian. Josephus writes about a giant named Eleazar that was sent to Rome as a gift. So human giants existed and do exist today. The proof is in. There's no debate about this. I mean, if you want to debate about do you believe in giants, you may as well debate about do you believe in mud. This debate's over. Giants exist today. Living, breathing giants exist today. But there's a certain type of giant out there that has the powers that be excessively nervous. It seems to be that the giant skeletons may hold the key to something they don't want you to know. I'm going to open up the telephone lines in just a moment. Not right now. I'm going to open them up when we come back from this break. I'd like to know, what are your ideas? What do you think it is they don't want us to know about the giants? The real scoop on this is they do exist, and they did exist, and some of them have the powers that be excessively nervous. That's the real scoop here on giants. Some of these giants have something about them that, come hell or high water, the powers that be do not want you to know, and they scoop them up. You know, you find a place that's got a giant skeleton buried in it. What happens? The military will cordon it off, or the police will cordon it off, restrict your access to it. Somebody from the Smithsonian will come in to do excavation, and the skeleton disappears. Or if not the Smithsonian, another institution. And the skeleton disappears, and you never hear anything. What is it that has them nervous? We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about giants this evening, and I'm opening the telephone lines right now. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. For those outside of the USA and outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message if you don't want to call that main number. You can call the main number, but if you don't want to make that international long-distance call, go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and when you see the picture about tonight's show, to the right of that, you will see a link that says flash message. All right, to the telephones. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. To answer your question, what the powers that be might not want any of us to know, the only thought that I could think of would be, if you're talking about giants, say, with two rows of teeth and maybe the six fingers, that kind of thing. One thing that would be shocking is if they didn't have much in the way of human genetics, they only looked like they were human, but their genetics was completely different. So,
well, even if it was just slightly different, look, there's only 3% difference between us and a chimpanzee. No, I'm sorry. There's 1% difference genetically between us and a chimpanzee. So it wouldn't have to be much difference if it's just different.
You know, you're suggesting that there wouldn't be that much difference, say 3% difference, and it didn't come from our planet, and that's what would be really upsetting.
Yeah.
To me, the possibility also exists that, that maybe there's you know, very little genetic composition from the planet, and they may just look like us.
I don't think they're trying to hide from us the fact that giants existed. They can't do that because they exist today. So there's something else about these ancient skeletons. There's something else. It's not just because they were giants. There's something else. So you may be right on target there.
Well, I know if they're not upset about midgets or really small people.
Well, and they're not upset about giants because, look, giants exist right now on this planet. And there are pictures of them. There are documentaries made about them. Giants exist. They don't try to hide that. There's something else about these ancient giant skeletons that has them nervous. It's not just because they're giants.
Well, it you know, it does have that extraterrestrial aspect to it. Let me ask you a question. Do the Nephilim have the six fingers? Like, I'm trying to remember who it was that had the six fingers.
There's nothing. The only place we hear about Nephilim is in the Bible, and there's nothing in the Bible that says they had six fingers.
Right. But somehow I've got six fingers associated with giants, and I don't know where that comes from.
Well, a lot of the giant skeletons that were found that we know about back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and we know about them because of the newspaper accounts, a lot of those did have six fingers, six toes, and double rows of teeth. Not all of them, but a lot of them did.
Yeah. Because the six-finger idea, I'm associating with mythology as you know, people coming down from the stars. That's what I recall.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I haven't read that anywhere, so I don't know. But, you know, it very well could be.
Yeah.
I do think it's curious.
The final thing.
Go ahead.
The final thing would be, if they're that upset and all the evidence disappears, it's really disturbing that there's that much organization that can actually do that. So I find that disturbing.
Did you ever see the series on television called Warehouse 13?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's the warehouse is a place where all paranormal, anomalous things get scooped up by the government and stored.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised to learn that there is such a place. Now, on television, they made it very sci-fi. But it would not surprise me to find that in reality there is such a place.
Heck, the Ark of the Covenant could be there.
Could be. It could be. John, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the main number. And I just, you know, when I look at this and I realize that there are giants today, and we see pictures of them and videos of them, and then I realize that all these ancient giant skeletons get scooped up and disappeared, it says to me there's something else besides the fact that they are giants, something else that they, the powers that be, don't want us to know. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
There was actually a question about that warehouse where all the paranormal stuff gets stored on Jeopardy a couple nights ago. Supposedly it's in South Dakota.
Well, it may be. You know, I'm so they were then sort of admitting on television that this warehouse does exist.
That's according to the question. But as to what the powers want to be, what they're afraid of, I really don't care. I don't know my position on them.
Well, I don't care either that you know that they are afraid of it. That doesn't bother me. But there is something about these skeletons, something about these skeletons of giants, other than the fact that they are giants, something else that they don't want us to know. And I want to know what that is.
I honestly don't know, but I have something for you. Jerry is what, 6'9"?
Yes.
There is a baseball pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels, who's 7'1".
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, there are people even taller than that.
I know.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm not sure where the dividing line is. You know, before you get to that line, you say, wow, he's tall. And then after that line, you say, that's a giant. I'm not sure where that, tall that you have to be for that.
I don't know. I walked into a mall one time in front of Will Chamberlain. He's tall.
You know, I got medevaced one time on a Black Hawk helicopter. And when they put you in, they put you in with your feet pointed towards one side of the aircraft and your head pointed towards the other side. Someone as tall as Jerry or taller, they'd have to leave the windows open.
Couldn't fit.
Yeah, they'd have to leave the windows open.
Believe it.
Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep, goodbye.
All right. And I can tell you, folks, if you've never ridden in a helicopter with a window open, that's not comfortable. It's really not. The excessive loud noise and wind coming through there is unbelievable. So what do you think about this? This whole thing about giants, you know, I've been getting email trickling in over the weeks and perhaps months mentioning giants. And why don't they want us to know about giants? As I looked into it, as you can see, I came to the conclusion that they don't care if you know about giants. Powers that be are not trying to keep you from knowing about giants. They're trying to keep you from knowing about a particular type of giant. And with these ancient skeletons, I think what they're doing, there's something about some of them that they don't want you to know. So they scoop up, if it's an ancient giant skeleton, they scoop it up. It disappears, probably goes for testing. They find out what they want to know. And you never find out. Never find out. There have been hundreds of these giant skeletons excavated across the United States. Can you go to a museum anywhere in the United States and see one? No. in just one location out in California, there were over 60 skeletons excavated at that one site. All giants. Just one location. Where are they today? Are they on display in any museum? No. Why is that? Now, you've heard me say many, many, many times that when we don't have all the data, then all speculation is valid. So if the powers that be are nervous about me speculating, well, it's their fault because they're hiding the data. If they're worried about you speculating, it's their fault because they're hiding the data. But my speculation is that they are worried about some extraterrestrial component in this. Now, the reason that I say that is because of Og, king of Bashan, or Bashan. You see, we have earlier in Genesis the story about Nephilim, the sons of God, came to the daughters of men and bore them children, or fathered children. And they were giants. So you're being told right there that some extraterrestrial beings came here and were enough like us genetically that they could father children with those women, and did so. Now, again, every time I do this, I get email. It's okay, you can send it to me, but look, just listen. I get email where someone says, well, those were the fallen angels. Okay, that's your interpretation of it. I don't disagree with it. Now, define fallen angel. Well, that's the angels that rebelled against God. Okay. Now, define angel. Because you see, the word angel, just, it's a Greek word, it's angelos, it means only one thing, it means messenger. And they are not called that, they are called the sons of God. At least in your book, it's the sons of God. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about giants this evening, and we're not talking about the New York Giants. We're talking about the giants, real giants. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dave calling from beautiful downtown Nevada.
Okay, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Kevin. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I was just sitting here listening to your show tonight while I'm working on my niece's computer. And I was aware that there were giants that had been around for, shall we say, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the information you brought out tonight is absolutely fills in blank spots I had in my knowledge. And you're so good at doing that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
But the one about this couple back, I think it was the 1880s or something,
mm-hmm.
that was totally new to me. And just, I want to thank you again for being here to bring out the information.
Well, you're certainly welcome. You're certainly welcome.
You're my model when I do my program on Saturdays.
You know, Dave, as I researched for this show tonight, I became totally convinced that they don't care that these are giants. That's not the point. That's not why they're hiding them. Because we have giants living on the planet today, and we know it. We have pictures of them. So they're not afraid of us knowing they're giants. There's got to be something else.
That's interesting that you would bring that up, because like many things in this world, they don't want us to know about. So what do? They rub our noses in the fact that they know it and they don't want us to know it.
Yeah, well, you know, secrets are power, knowledge is freedom.
Secrets? Did you just say secrets? You mean like our government has secrets from us?
I'm afraid that's the case. Yeah.
I was being sarcastic in case you hadn't gathered.
I did. I appreciate it. Dave, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin. Bye.
Bye-bye. We have a flash message from, it's either Simone or Simon, and I think it's Simon, in Australia. Humans and mice share at least 80% same genes. Interesting show, but it's just cut out for me, even though I have a very fast connection. We'll keep trying. Well, I'm not surprised, Simon. You should not be surprised either. It probably, when it cut out for you, it cut out for a lot of people. But a lot of people are still hearing us. You know, I've touched upon something that's got to be a real sensitive bit of nerve. By pointing out that it's not that they're giants. That's not the case. That is not why they're nervous about us knowing, because there are giants living on the planet today, and they don't try to hide that fact. So it's not that these skeletons are giants. That's not the reason they make them disappear. There has to be something else. According to Sitchin, the Anunnaki, and I know there are people who think Sitchin's all wet and there's no such thing as Anunnaki. I know that. Put that aside for a moment. According to Sitchin, the Anunnaki are the same people, the same race of beings that the Bible refers to as the Nephilim. Okay? So whether you call them Anunnaki or whether you call them Nephilim, is it possible that these giants, these ancient skeletons of giants that get disappeared, is it just possible that they contain DNA of the Nephilim? They would, of course, contain human DNA, because if that story about them in Genesis is true, they're half human, half Nephilim. Half human, half extraterrestrial. So if that story in Genesis is true, then is it possible that those skeletons contain the DNA markers for the Nephilim, or, as Sitchin called them, the Anunnaki? I think it is a possibility. Because I raise that as a possibility, don't go screaming into the night that I said it's a fact. It's just a possibility. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Paul from Rhode Island. How are you doing, Kevin?
Doing good, Paul. What's on your mind?
What are you, Bob Brady, doing?
Saw Bob earlier this morning. He's doing fine.
Good to hear. Listen, the topic today on giants, the A.J. Mazzulli School of Thought is right up to... Hello?
Say it again.
The A.J. Mazzulli School of Thought is the story that you just described about the Bible,
mm-hmm.
the Nephilim, and
Yeah, A.J. Mazzulli. He's been on this show.
Yeah, and that's where I've got that information. I read one of his books, and it's right in line with what you said a moment ago about the Bible, the Nephilim, how they're demonic, and there might be a genetic link between these skeletons disappearing and the government wanting to reap them for whatever reason.
It could be. And who knows, I mean, do they want us to not know that there's DNA from off-planet? Probably. Is it possible that they are trying to extract that DNA and somehow clone these giants as super soldiers for their own use?
That's possible. Assertion. Yeah.
Possible. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Well, folks, we have run up against the end of the show. We don't have much time left here. This has been fun for me, and I hope it's been fun and interesting for you. And I hope you see once again that it's not knowledge that is power, it's secrets. We have the knowledge that giants existed, and they exist today. It's the secrets about those ancient skeletons of giants that we don't have. There's something about those ancient skeletons they don't want us to know. So not only are you not going to get the scientific reports on them, you're not even going to get to look at one of these ancient giant skeletons in a museum. It just ain't in the cards. It's not going to happen. You haven't seen one. You can go to South America, and you can see a few of them in museums in South America. Here in the United States of America, you're not going to see it. You will not see it. You never saw it, and you never will. Well, I hope you're enjoying this week here at the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who have tuned in tonight for the very first time, thank you for being here, and I hope you will be with us each and every night. We're live here on the air every night, Monday through Friday, at this same time. So I hope you will join us for each and every show. It's free to listen, but we have a whole bunch of goodies in our members area. Join our community of members for only 23 cents a day. And then you get to watch the show. If you miss the show, we upload it. That's what I'll start doing as soon as we go off the air. I'll start uploading this show, and it'll be up for 24 hours so you can watch the latest show if you miss the live show. You get our archives, you get our forums, you get our chat room, our library of free ebooks, our video galaxy, and a whole bunch more. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me, just keep coming back. Again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.